Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our city clerk, Mr. Landberg, to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here at home.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
Pursuant to Illinois statute, ladies and gentlemen, Alderman Hill is participating via teleconference this evening. He is at home, not feeling 100%. So he will be joining us, and as is required by statute, when Mr. Hill votes, he will state his name and vote his position. With that, we begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd like to ask none other than Miss Carroll to please lead us in the pledge. Whenever you're ready, Judy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mrs. Carroll?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Thank you, Judy. That's going to obviously impact the vote we take on some chamber issues this evening. Item 3A this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is the City of Geneva's Green Team presentation provided by our historic planner, Carla Kulfus. And is it appropriate to define you as chair of the Green Team?
Yes, I am the chair of the Green Team.
So, Madam Chairman, welcome to the podium.
Thank you so much. I also have with me Steve LeMaire, and he's going to be joining me shortly here in the presentation. So just bear with me one second.
I will dim the lights.
So we're here to present to you tonight the Green Team's Green Handbook. So whether you believe in global warming or climate change, energy efficiency can save energy. And saving energy usually means saving money. So the direction from the formation of the Green Team comes from the strategic plan, notably under Vision 6, Goal 5, explore public policies and practices with respect to environmental sustainability. The other direction for the formation of the Green Team comes from the adoption of the Greenest Region Compact, which happened in August of 2007 by the City Council. The Greenest Region Compact focuses on three primary strategies dealing with water conservation, e-waste recycling, and participation in the residential lighting program. The GRC also focuses on strategies for air, energy use, land, waste, and water conservation. The team consists of members from every city department and every facility, and it was formed by Mary McKittrick. At City Hall, we have Zach Creer, Paul Evans, myself, Dustin Schultze, Sherry Weidel. At Public Works, we have Chris Bong, Dan Dobnik, Steve LeMaire, and Hal Wright. At the Police Department, we have Tim Baker and Linda St. John. At the Fire Department, we have Mark Einwich, Rod Johnson, Tammy Cleveno, and Dave Lentz. And in memoriam, who served also on the committee, was Chuck Lencioni and Jeff Price. When the team got started in 2008, we began to look at the policies and practices of the city and what we had and what we could establish. We discussed developing a sustainability plan versus the creation of a handbook, looking at the city's policies first. We felt that it was important to look at what the city was doing or not doing before making any recommendations for citywide changes. A sustainability plan could be something that the city considers in the future. These are some examples of local plans. These are sustainability plans for the City of Elgin, the cities of Oak Park, River Forest, as well as the 2040 King County Energy Plan. A sustainability plan would be a citywide plan involving the community in discussions and establishing goals. Most sustainability plans also include measuring the existing carbon footprint and developing ways to eliminate greenhouse gas emissions. With the handbook, the Green Team began to focus on what we were doing as staff, what we are doing as employees in the workplace, what the efforts have been to establish energy efficiency and recycling in each of the facilities, and then to identify simple goals for the future. We decided to call it a Green Handbook. We are requesting that you adopt the Green Handbook tonight and that it will be amended in the future as further policies are developed. some of our current practices from an employee behavior standpoint, and this is our first focus, is to turn off electric equipment like computers, printers, fax machines, cell phone chargers, turn off the lights in a room when not in use. Recycle paper. If printed on one side of a sheet has already occurred and you can't use it, then we can reuse it in the fax machine or cut it up for note paper. Recycle office supplies like paper clips and rubber bands and folders. Carpool to meetings. Print double-sided rather than single-sided. Recycle items such as batteries, fluorescent light bulbs, ink and toner cartridges. While these may seem like simple items, we felt that documenting them, incorporating them into a handbook would make them as guidelines for on-the-job employee behavior. In general, in our facilities, there's a focus on turning off TVs and coffee pots, turning down the thermostats when there is no one present, ceasing purchase of styrofoam cups and encouraging the reuse of reusable coffee mugs, utensils, and plates, recycling of computer equipment with suppliers or other recycling entities. As part of the handbook, we documented the efforts that each of the facilities have already made. At City Hall, largely under Chuck Lencioni's leadership and with the renovation from 2008, significant improvements were made to the building. These included changing out incandescent bulbs and replacing them with compact fluorescent bulbs, installing a zoned HVAC system, installing timed lights in bathrooms and the exterior porch light, installing dishwasher, and purchasing reusable plates and glasses and utensils, ceasing the purchase of styrofoam and purchasing of paper cups. Some of the vehicle use policies include identification and establishing a no idling policy when vehicles are not in emergency use, holding breaks on the job site, and consolidating trips to work sites rather than driving back to public works. So Steve's going to jump in here and talk about some of our other facilities.
Good evening. Some of the other things that we're doing around in public works is at the water treatment facility, we've installed programmable thermostats, and we have zoned HVAC systems so that they're located and working on zones, not entire sections of the building. Also, we installed insulated the South Street well house for better energy efficiency, installed variable drives, which also help work only when they're needed and not running all the time. And we've removed pipes from the Logan well house that were old and not useful and didn't need those. Some other things that we're doing at the wastewater treatment facility, we reuse gas generated from the digester building. We use high-quality sludge for farm fertilization. That may sound a little silly, but we process it so it can be applied in a manner to farm fertilization, so it's pretty pure. Installed variable speed drives again at Western Avenue lift station. Again, that helps control the units so that they only work when they're supposed to be working. Some other current practices that we're doing here at Public Works is we've installed programmable thermostats. And again, we have our HVAC system that's in zone. For instance, if my office is calling for cooling, only my office will get cooled instead of the entire facility. And that is what zoned HVAC works. We also installed timers for our exhaust fans. That are in the large garage portion of the building. We need those to be programmed periodically and run periodically because of all the exhaust that is generated when the vehicles start up in the morning or after break or after lunch. We installed motion sensors and timers for the restroom lights and selected facility lighting. This is something where we don't have a switch that we have to turn on. You walk into the restroom, the light comes on. It stays on for a certain period of time, and when you leave, it will go out. We've been using biodiesel. That's kind of a nice thing. It does have some good benefits, and we've been using it since 2004. We established a fuel conservation program many, many years ago, and we've been focusing to continue that program, trying to reduce fuel that we use. We maintain routine preventative maintenance for the vehicles. We've actually been able to extend the preventative maintenance cycles to a longer period, but it's critical to do it in the right time frame so that we're maximizing the efficiency and the fuel efficiency of the vehicle. Something else that we've done in 2008 is that we started purchasing hybrid vehicles for admin vehicles. As you recall, we did that in 2008, and we bought a couple Prius hybrids. One is assigned to me, and it does work. It does average about 49 miles per gallon. So that's a significant improvement. In front, you pay a little bit more for it, but in the long run, especially with the way current fuel prices are, it's well worth the effort. We purchase fuel-efficient equipment as equipment expires or has to be replaced. Again, what we do is we want to make sure that the piece of equipment is going to do what we need it to do, but at the same time, we look for features that will enhance the fuel efficiency of those vehicles. Some existing programs that we've been doing in Public Works is we have always recycled tree materials, and we provide the mulch to the public free of charge. All asphalt and concrete is taken back to the asphalt and concrete plants. It's clean and it's reusable, and we get a discount when we do that on our fuel, on our purchase of asphalt and concrete materials. Obviously, with leaves, we used to, when we had the program in-house, we would recycle those and land apply those to the soil of agricultural areas. I guess also what we have in place is a voluntary electric load reduction plan for the electric services. If anybody wants to participate, they can. We do have a watering restriction policy. It's in place and has been in place for a long time. It's basically not to abuse our valuable water resource for unnecessary watering and waste. We investigated wind power. I don't know if Mike Buffington's here to talk about that, but I cannot answer any questions on that. I'm a street, tree, and fleet guy. So don't even ask me about the wastewater, right, Bob?
That's right.
We got Bob here. Loss-evaluated transformers are used. These are transformers that, I guess, really operate at a higher efficiency than the previous old transformers. We implement a reusable shopping bags, landfill waste and electric energy purchase. We buy some of our energy from the electric that can be generated through the old landfill. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So moving into goals and objectives for employee behavior, encourage and incentivize green transportation to work, train employees on recycling, maximizing equipment use and vehicle use policies, evaluation of hybrid vehicle use, considering future purchases of hybrid vehicles. For our facilities, establish recycling centers, properly sign them so they're actually clear as to what goes where. Review our cleaning company contract. I know we have a new contract with a cleaning company, but there's always been a question as to does things in recycling actually go to recycling? Have energy audits on all City of Geneva facilities. Evaluate the HVAC systems in each building and eliminate that styrofoam. When looking at equipment, identify cost-effective and energy-reducing equipment. Use less harmful de-icing products on streets. Consider electronic record keeping. Install electric hand dryers, eliminating paper waste. And back to the energy audit idea. We applied for an energy audit of City Hall back in January, and we did receive an award of the energy audit from the Smart Energy Design Assistance Center from the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. CDEC granted us the audit. If paying a contractor, it would have been about a $5,000 bill to pay the contractor. We received the report on March 17th, and the audit team reviewed the building structure, the HVAC systems, and the energy bills, and gave us recommendations on how to reduce our energy costs, and they're called energy cost reduction measures, or ECRMs. They came up with seven recommended items to consider as we move forward, And each of these recommended ECRMs are shown in the report with the annual utility use, utility cost reduction, internal rate of return, and potential incentives. So it can be a great document for us in the future as we're moving forward as to what incentives may be available to these different items. The recommendations include changing of the remaining T12 fluorescent light fixtures found in the second floor offices, as well as making sure that they all have newer fixtures, and changing 12 incandescent bulbs in the recess lighting to CFLs. Outside lighting fixtures were recommended to be updated with LED bulbs. This would give us much better efficiency. Programmable thermostats could program heating and cooling for building occupancy only and reduce it when not occupied. We should consider recommissioning, which is the review of the HVAC system, and this would likely help us with further heating and cooling costs. In addition, our condensing unit is from 1989, and while it's still working, the age of it is a bit of concern, and it needs to be replaced for better efficiency. And finally, the installation of a vending miser, which gets installed on the plug of the pop machine, which could reduce our energy consumption. Within that document, there's opportunities for seeking out grants for those improvements. What I think is interesting to point out with the energy audit is that it doesn't recommend insulating the roof or replacing the windows, which are two big ticket items, which are typically what people look at when considering making energy efficiency improvements. They are viewed as being not cost effective. Some of our next step, the Green Day is participating with the Natural Resources Committee. That's the band. The Green Team is working with the Natural Resources Committee on the Earth Day celebration on April 16th. The grant for the $59,000 for improvements to the fire station and police station is almost coming to a close. That was a grant that was through the Energy Efficiency Community Block Grant Program, which Paul Evans applied for. And more grants could be applied for improvements and help with our energy costs as we move forward. And the Green Team also furnished a list of possible improvement programs to be considered for this year's budget cycle. So I don't know if you have any questions or comments. Be happy to try to answer them.
Questions or comments for Ms. Kulfus, Alderman Brown, then Alderman Vogelsberg, Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's a wonderful list. You've done a great job there, your committee. They're wonderful things, and people probably couldn't read that graph, but we've saved a few thousand dollars per year in electric costs alone in the city hall. So I was looking through this. It's written very well. There's one little thing here that caught my eye on your goals and objectives. Number two, it says train employees on maximizing equipment and vehicle use. I think that should be reworded slightly. I think what you meant was train employees on maximizing the lifetime of equipment and vehicles.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound quite right, but other than that, I will certainly vote for adopting this policy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. It was a wonderful presentation. Thank you. And I just wanted to ask, what's the vending miser? How does that lessen the energy?
How it works is it channels the energy at certain points during the day to ensure that the pop is cooled appropriately, but doesn't continue to cool it throughout the day.
Oh, cool.
It has like 120% payback.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Carla, very nice. Very nicely done. I would like to direct my questions to Steve.
Mr. Lemire, please step forward and prepare to be peppered by Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're looking good in that black mock turtleneck, by the way.
Can't wait to put it away and it gets warm enough here.
I thought you were Gary Player there for a moment.
Why, thank you. Okay, that is money.
Stephen, the sludge that is being used for agricultural use, is there a possibility that some of that, is that acceptable to the public at all?
I know this is going to your question about whether we could process it to be fertilizer for people to use in the
Correct.
Public. I will ask Superintendent.
That would be considered Class A biosolids, and currently we are equipped to manufacture, for lack of a better word, Class B. So currently the way that our system is that we can only process Class B.
Well, thank you for that. And Stephen,
use of recycled oil? Are they doing any of that in the maintenance?
What we do is we take our oil to be recycled because we can get a discount on it. At this time, we have not been buying recycled oil at this time. It's something we could look into.
Yeah, it's my understanding that one can use, by using recycled oil, one may prolong the need of, instead of changing the oil every 3,000 miles, one might be able to change it every, say, 5,000 miles. Am I correct in that assumption?
Well, recycled oil will not prolong the maintenance or their period of time that you go between oil change. The cars, the way they're designed now and manufactured, they don't need and they don't require to have their fuel or their oil changed out every 3,000 miles. You can go as far as 6, and that's what we do with our equipment right now.
Okay.
So we have extended the period between oil changes.
Okay. And the recycling of plastic bags, I understand that's becoming somewhat of a no-no in the sense that the direction is more towards the use of paper products for bagging groceries and products such as that.
That is correct. There is a big push to buy recyclable bags
yes.
that you can take to the store instead of having plastic bags. Right now, and at some of these stores, they have collection containers for the plastic bags so that when you go to the store, you can bring your old plastic bags, and they take those, and they're recycled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, Mayor. Steve or Carla, it doesn't matter who, but, you know, we all have to be stewards of the environment, as everyone has touched on tonight, and that the energy cost reductions that we're seeing is great, but do we actually have a matrix that measures how much we've saved and what this implementation will cost?
Are you speaking specifically about the implementation here at City Hall with the
throughout the city?
Throughout the city, we haven't quantified it globally, like with every item, you know, other than Mr. Lencioni tabulating the energy use here at City Hall and how it decreased over the years. I suppose that's something that we could do in the future, just so that we have some idea as to how far we have come.
Yeah, I think it'd be wise if we were able to, you know, identify what our base is, and then if we take everybody's cost who are on the green team, you know, factor in whatever percent of their salary is, how much more money we're spending on implementing this, the cost of the assets, and, you know, what does it really turn out to be? You know, I'm certain that we're doing the right thing, but in terms of, you know, being fiscally conservative, is it the best bang for our buck?
Well, to answer that question, I think that you're right, is that you can overdo this, okay? And I think what we need to do is find the right combination where we're making it worth our while and we are saving money and it is offsetting our administrative costs to do this. But I do think you're right that we have to make sure that we're doing the right things and not spending money on things that are not going to provide a return.
Right.
And I agree with the one thing I can say that we have a matrix on that we have been monitoring very closely is the fuel conservation program, because we do monitor all the vehicles on a monthly basis in all the departments, and we do establish a goal of a 5% reduction for the citywide. Now, previously it was arranged that it was Public Works, but then we implemented it for citywide to obtain that 5% reduction in fuel, even though maintaining our service level.
But I just think it would be nice to have perhaps in future budgets a beginning base to show where we were at and where we're going, and that gives you a tool to better gauge as to how to focus your energies. No pun intended.
No, but I agree, and we can do that.
Thanks.
It's a good idea.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Silly question maybe, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is this green handbook going to be in electronic format, or is it going to be hand-printed?
I envision it being a PDF document, so an electronic format.
Great.
A hard copy with single-sided.
Color.
An awful color.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope so. That would make the most
made
sense.
Made from
so.
Old growth paper.
The other side of some copy paper, right? So that really confuse somebody if they look at the hand.
Anyone from the audience? Any comments or questions for Mr. Lemire or Ms. Kulfus? I do want to give credit where credit is due, and that is to not only the entire Green Team, but, of course, to Carla. Carla and I recently, what was it, a couple months ago, spoke to some students at St. Peter and regarding this very issue. And we encourage them to keep their eyes on us so that when we publicize what it is we're trying to accomplish, they can comment as well. They had some great ideas. And
they actually did, and I actually wrote them down so that we can possibly consider them in the future.
Absolutely. So it's interesting that it's the next generation that's kind of pushing this generation to focus more on these issues that sometimes we, and perhaps the generations before us, seem to think not so important and or critical. So it was good. We actually carpooled over there and left our car running the entire time we spoke. So it was good.
Good practice.
Anyone else? There's no action until later in the evening, but Alderman Brown.
Thank you. The yardstick that most people use in this is the payback period, and I've been told that the reason why a lot of these energy conservation and sustainability programs do much better in Europe than they do in this country is Europeans, with their long history, think 20 years is a reasonable payback period, where in the United States it's very hard to get funding for anything over 10 years. Most people use 5 to 10 years as a reasonable payback period. That an investment is worth it if you can pay it back in somewhere between 5 and 10 years. Is that something your committee tries to do on each item, is to consider what a payback period would be?
In the energy audit itself of City Hall, the payback period that was considered was 10 years. Uh-huh. And so that created a benchmark for us in that document.
We haven't at this time, but I think this is the kind of input and feedback we're looking for from the council so that we can move forward and, you know, take these ideas and start utilizing them, start implementing them into this Green Team handbook.
This isn't just being green. This is economics in the bottom line. Right. Energy, as we know, is not going to get cheaper. So it's the bottom line that counts, and I appreciate all the work you've done helping us try to save money. Thank you.
If there's no other questions or comments, we thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And the entire team. Thank
Thanks.
You. Item number 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments being offered by any member of the City Council? I do have one. I'd like to ask someone to entertain the motion to remove item 11Q, resolution 2011-25. From the omnibus agenda. We do have some neighbors with us this evening who would like to ask a few clarifying questions regarding this item. So if someone could offer that amendment, offered by Dantino, seconded by Piper.
Mayor?
Yes.
7Q. No, I'm sorry, it was 11Q, but also can I have 7C removed as well from reports?
Absolutely.
11Q.
There are two amendments offered. That is to remove item 7C and item 11Q from the omnibus agenda. Any other amendments being offered?
C.
Was there a second on Mr. Pollack's? Forgive me. I don't know.
No.
Piper was on
no.
Paul.
No,
on Pollack's, is there a second to remove that item?
Sure.
I'll second.
We'll include in the one. Okay, Piper as well. So. Voice vote is sufficient.
Aye.
All in favor of the amendments, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Mr. Hill?
Alderman Hill, aye.
Item 5 is the omnibus agenda, as amended. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
So moved.
Second.
Vogelsberg makes that motion, and Pollack makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
The suspense was killing us, Sam.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Item 5 passes with 9 affirmative votes and 1 10 affirmative votes unanimously. Forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, if your item was with an asterisk, you are certainly welcome to leave. I see the folks at Walgreens looking at each other saying, can we leave now? So if you'd like, but if you want to stick around, we'd love to have you as well. So feel free to exit as you see fit.
Thank you.
We jump down to item 7C, which was removed by Alderman Ray Pawlak. Alderman Pawlak, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Mayor. I don't see Ellen here.
No, Ellen is not here this evening.
That's why I don't see her. just one question, and perhaps, Mary, you can get back to her or get back to us. And that was under the commercial new and closed database. I noticed the number of activities closed. I presume are those closed businesses?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or moved out of Geneva. And I just was wondering if we could get more of a sense of what's going on, positive news economically. I know there's been some contacts made to date, but just a little bit more verbiage, if you will.
What specifically, what are you looking for? I mean, other than X number leaving and X number coming in.
Just a better sense of what's going on. I see that the Aronson lot has a big sign on it. A number of things are for rent. You know, I just don't see a lot of activity going on. I was just trying to get a better sense as to, in Ellen's report, as to proactive stuff that's being taken place as opposed to more specific, as opposed to more than generic that's written.
I'm sorry, I just don't know what's, are you looking for names of businesses or contacts that they've made?
Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Something more specific.
Okay, so you want contacts for new business?
Yeah,
or
potential businesses that are looking at coming to town that, you know, perhaps, you know, we can help push along.
Okay, I will pass that message along.
Thanks.
Anyone else on item 7C? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report as presented.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Pawlak. I believe a voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone, Mr. Hill?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We skip down to item number 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment totaled $310,412.84.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read, and as the individual bills are displayed on the city website in the council package.
Second.
Month. Alderman Brown motions to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city's website, and that motion was seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Alderman Hill, aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pawlak?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously with 10 affirmative votes. Item 11A. 11A. Recommend adoption of the Geneva Green Team's Green Handbook, which will be distributed via PDF.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Singer made the motion. I believe Alderman Marks made the second. Any comments or questions? Our solemn pledge to reduce our carbon footprint is now in order. Mr. Clerk, the voice vote is sufficient, I believe. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Alderman
Hill,
aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Item 11B is to recommend resolution number 2011-17, authorizing contract for purchase of fiscal year 2011-2012 budgeted 110 utility truck through the Illinois Joint Purchase Program.
So moved.
Second.
Singer makes the motion, and the half-asleep Piper makes the second. Questions or comments regarding item 11B, as in boy, Alderman Pawlak.
Thanks, Mayor. I voted against this last week and will continue to vote against it again this week. Last week, we also discussed that the vehicle would be sold on iBid. So I went to iBid and I looked at comparable vehicles that are being sold there, and I could not find a comparable vehicle with less than 200,000 miles. So I question again why we're disposing of a vehicle with only 75,000 miles. Thanks.
Thank you. Alderman Piper.
You know, they say everything's in a presentation, and I think this is just another example of that. You know, I went on iBid also, and I took a look at that, and here's the situation. We get a 1997 plow, what is it, a bucket truck we use as a dump truck. It's got 75,000 miles on it. And I looked at the trucks on iBid, and Ray's right. It's the same truck. It's 2006. It's got 400,000 miles on it. It's from the Illinois Tollway. It's not from a municipality. They put 125,000 miles a year on these trucks. I don't know what the hell they do to them.
Those are highway miles.
Yeah, exactly. They're all highway miles. But, you know, look, if I had a vehicle that I put 75,000 miles a year on, I wouldn't get rid of it either. But if it was 14 years old and I used it as a plow and I filled it up with concrete, yeah, I'd probably get rid of it. We're not looking at today's budget or you know, we're very worried about today's budget. We're very worried about next year's budget. It's in there. We've got the money. We're trying to avoid trying to buy four or five, six trucks at a time. It's in there. It's paid for. I just say we do it and move on. But we really have to be careful as to how we're presenting things. And you know, as I look at that, yeah, you're right. There is comparable vehicles on there, but it's apples and oranges. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais regarding item 11B? Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess if our mechanic, whom I'm not astute on vehicles, would not understand the level of maintenance that would be needed in future years, it's my understanding that he did recommend that we replace this vehicle, this truck. So based upon that we have the money in this year's budget, based upon that we don't want to expend the money next year, I'm going to vote in favor of it.
From the dais, anyone else? Anyone from the audience? Oh, Alderman Dantino.
I will just say I will be voting against this as I did last week. I think this Bob, superintendent of water, called it a want, not necessarily a need, and I will go along with that in my mind, and so I will vote no on this.
Anyone else on the dais from the audience? Folks, this may come as a surprise to many of you, but I do have a postscript prior to the vote. As you know, I was not present last Monday evening. I was traveling, not on business, but on family matters. I was visiting my daughter at the University of Iowa. But I did have the pleasure of listening to the meeting via my cell phone and some sort of jerry-rigged situation that Pete hooked up. And it was, suffice it to say, fascinating. But I made some notes, and I wanted to share those notes with you, not in an effort to change anyone's mind, but perhaps channel the debate in an area which I think it should be channeled.
While you were driving, you made the notes?
It was on speakerphone. I've already damaged one car. I don't need to damage anymore. As we all know, this city council has endorsed, and we've passed, and we've supported a comprehensive, responsible, and reasonable vehicle replacement program. We have vested the trust, talent, and expertise with the men and women who run the departments with vehicles to advise us, the policymakers, when our policy, as Alderman Flanagan so eloquently stated, should be enacted. I trust these men and women who have the authority over their fleets to advise me when a vehicle needs replacement. Such is the case with item 11B, a 14-year-old dump truck with 75,000 miles on it, designed to help repair and rebuild our roads, haul our debris, plow our streets, and support a myriad of other essential services. If Mr. Paris, our mechanic, and Mr. Van Gescom, our superintendent, believe the dump truck in question needs to be retired from active duty, then I am the first to salute that vehicle, thank it for its decades of service, and send it on its way. Now, the argument against replacing the dump truck took a very interesting turn, I thought. For it was believed by some on the council that the funds appropriated for the replacement of the truck were actually in next year's budget, when in fact it was monies already budgeted, carried over from this year's budget. In my humble opinion, failed to grasp that elemental fact, I wondered if the contention being voiced was more about trying to score points. We heard it said earlier tonight, perhaps pounding on our chest saying, gee, look how fiscally conservative I am, instead of really understanding the scope, focus, and policy-driven budget we voted on nearly a year ago. Then, when it was finally understood that the appropriation we were talking about was, in fact, already allocated, a suggestion was made that just because we appropriated the money doesn't mean we should spend it. Really? Well, then I would suggest tonight that a motion be offered to suspend all expenditures until May 2011, the start of the new fiscal year, including our salaries, pay for our employees, the police, the firefighters, public works employees, economic development, finance, human resources, community development, and so on. That'll really give us a chance to pound our chests and say, look how fiscally conservative we are. Now, of course, I'm kidding. But then just when I thought what I define as the Cirque du Soleil was over, yet another portion of the play was about to take place. It was stated by some that the reason for their no vote was because they had voted against the water and wastewater rate increase. The two issues are not connected, and to try to link them is just plain silly. Akin to punishing a department's needs based on solid policy direction supported by this council, simply because the department's main product, clean water, required stabilization. Folks, and I think Alderman Flanagan, again, I have to refer to you because you said it best. We are not mechanics. We are policymakers. Our job is to set direction, empower our professional staff to carry out that direction, trust their skills, experience, and fidelity to their professions and work. And we must work with them to ensure that our citizens and businesses receive the service they expect. At the beginning of the 2011-2012 budget development process, a clever moniker was assigned to the challenges we all faced to build a budget that reflected constricting revenues. That moniker was offered by Mary McKittrick, and it was simply stated, needs versus wants. I believe that those we serve need us to stop playing games and want us to start doing our jobs. Let's show them and ourselves that we are up to the task. Any other comments on item 11B? Alderman Pollack?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Nice speech.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
But perhaps you missed it when Mr. Van Gescom was asked, is this a want or a need? And he said, it is a want.
It is a want. Based on what, though?
Thank you.
Based on what, Mr. Pollack? Based on the fact that it was carried over from the 2010-11 budget. So it's time we want the truck because we need the truck.
Well,
so let's play the game that we can all get hooked. I have the floor. Let's play the game where we can all get tripped up on each other's words. That's why I write my words down very carefully.
Yeah.
Very carefully. So I say exactly what I mean, and I mean what I say. For us to play mechanic, for us to completely and so profoundly misunderstand the way a budget's built and delivered is astonishing. And then we find, as best we can, a way to still buttress our argument because, God forbid, we might be wrong. The time to say no dump truck or no money for whomever or whatever was a year ago. Not once we supported the budget with 9 affirmative votes and 1 no vote, to then say, you know what, I'm getting a lot of heat from somebody, we can't spend the money on a new dump truck. Not spending the money on a new dump truck has absolutely no impact, none whatsoever, on the city's budget nor on the levy that we ask the citizens to contribute. None. It is, in my humble opinion, pure gamesmanship.
Well, I'm sorry you think of it as a game.
But it's clearly a game. I mean, it's like the old days when you used to huddle around the radio to listen to the speeches. You hear so much when you don't see the visual. And what I heard was, how the hell can we screw the water department? That's what I heard. And that's shameful. Alderman Maladra.
I think that a lot of attention is being given to Bob's comment that this is a want as opposed to a need. I think that... Well, I believe that his answer was directed more at the question of will the water department cease to operate if we don't get this truck? I think that it won't. We'll continue to go on. But that doesn't mean that it's a fiscally responsible decision to defer the purchase of the truck. We know it's going to have to be replaced at some point. Our the people in charge of telling us what kind of shape these things are in, they wanted to replace it with the previous budget. They wanted to replace it again this year. And I believe that on the off chance that we back off on our the fact that it's budgeted this year, on the off chance that we say, no, let's not do it this year, let's put it off till next year, they may have included it in next year's budget as well. I'm looking at it this way. To defer something like that that you need, basically you're hoping that somebody tomorrow is going to face up to the responsibilities that we should be facing up to today. It's very good policymaking to emphasize fiscal responsibility and things like that, but that doesn't mean pinching your pennies. It means buy what you need when you can and when you need to. So the fact that the water department will continue to run is a good thing, and I think a testament to their abilities more than anything else. Trying to push this off to some uncertain future just is counterintuitive, folks. We all acknowledged last week that next year looks darker than this year. So let's take this item that's budgeted in the current budget and put it off till next year when things are going to be even crummier than they are this year. Doesn't make sense. So I'm sorry you used the term want, but I'm interpreting it differently than I think everybody else is. And therefore, I'll be supporting the truck. Purchase.
Alderman Dantino.
You guys can hear different things and hear things and determine what they mean, but I heard what I heard about a want versus a need. My question is for Mary, though. What happens if this city doesn't buy this truck this year? It's in the budget for last year. I just heard maybe it's in the budget for next year again in case we don't buy it this year, but what happens to that money?
Well, what happens to the money?
That is budgeted for that truck.
Any money unspent goes to our fund balance.
Okay, so I say, what is wrong with saving money? That's all I have to say.
If that's a question for me, I would agree. Absolutely nothing. Okay. But the savings of the money now is going to cost us more next year?
This
is the same council that argued over whether or not we should have a fund balance at the level as recommended. So it seems, to borrow Mr. Belager's term, counterintuitive, that now all of a sudden we're talking about let's strengthen the fund balance when simply a month ago it was, who cares about the fund balance? Let's burn it off because after all, that's what we need to do. It's ironic. This month it's the water department. Next month maybe it's the cops. And then it's the firefighters. And then we get to play this gotcha game with all our professional staff. And that's unfortunate. It is absolutely unfortunate. Our job here is policy making. It is to provide the best roadmap for the professional staff, pay them to do their jobs, and if we have questions, then we ask them questions. That's fair. But not to try to trump them and stump them and embarrass them and humiliate them in public. That's what I see happening more and more of. That's unfortunate. So,
can I call the question?
No. Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, Mayor.
I'm having too much fun, Ron.
Just one question, Mayor. You know, when I heard what Craig said, and I certainly heard what you said, Alderman Dantino. But then I think about the last couple of weeks we've heard about the local distributive government funds,
right,
and potentially what Springfield can do to us. And if the funding is cut and if it's as dire as it could potentially be, as Mary has written and you have written, Senator Lauzon, you know, like you, I too sit up and worry about where's the money going to come from. And if this is an opportunity for us to save some money, great.
But wasn't it you, Alderman Pollack, that just a few weeks ago said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, I'm sure it's captured in the minutes, God, you know, I love the flowers. Can we find $5,000 to support beautification? You just pull the money out of the air because that was important, but a dump truck's not? I mean, am I misstating that? Or
Yeah, because we were speaking about SPAC, the flowers, and there was something else. There was a third.
Cultural arts.
And I was looking at that entire piece of the pie, and it's how we can pull the money out of that particular fund. So I wasn't pulling the money out of the sky, no.
Alderman Milato?
We can choose to save money today. I think that there's nothing wrong with saving money. I think that there's an issue with it, though, when you know you're going to have to spend that money tomorrow. And you may have to spend it not just on this truck, but I believe that there's three others in the schedule that are also coming up for replacement. We're making a big deal out of squeezing the nickel until the buffalo does something. I think that we got to take a big picture perspective, and that perspective is we have a fleet of capital equipment that's not going to last forever, and we need to update it, maintain it, care for it in a prudent fashion.
Craig, I don't disagree with what you just said. What all I'm simply saying is I personally am looking at this trying to do more with less.
I understand that, but you're also painting a dark picture of the future and saying, let's wait until tomorrow. I'm saying if tomorrow is that scary and that ugly, let's do what we know we can do today. What you're saying to me, it's kind of like you're arguing against yourself a little bit. Oh, let's buy the truck next year when we might have half our income.
We don't know if we can buy it next year. All I'm simply saying is keep nursing this along.
Right. We know that, but the problem with nursing it along is that it will break, and it will break at a time when you may have nothing. Is that wise? I'm talking about deferring or addressing risk as much as anything else. It's a great thing to save, but you save to help yourself in the event of emergency. I think we can help ourselves in the event of an emergency, in air quotes, by buying a truck that we know we're going to need to buy at some point very soon.
And I'm just using the practical thought process of if this was my truck and my household, what would I do? Plain and simple.
Your mechanic told you needed to replace it, what would you do?
If my mechanic told me.
Your mechanic has told you this needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
What do you do? When your mechanic says, I need new brakes, do you go, oh, well, I can ride along on these for a while longer. I've been okay up to this point. No, you don't. When your mechanic tells you need new brakes, you get new brakes. Our mechanic is telling us we need to do this. You're deciding you know more than your mechanic knows. Actually, you're not doing that, but you're deciding let's gamble. And let's take the risk today and hope for a payoff tomorrow. And then you're saying tomorrow looks really ugly and scary. It doesn't sound like a good gamble to me.
No, but again, we're talking about a truck.
Yeah.
So let's kind of keep it on that level. You know, come on.
Today we're talking about a truck, but ever since the budget thing has started, today it's a truck. Last week it was some other penny. The week before that, there's something that you guys are saving on all the time, and I support a lot of it, but I question some of it. I think that if we focus on cheapness, then we're going to wind up cheap. If we focus on value and good fiscal management, that involves spending money sometimes, folks. It does. You said last week, run it like a house. Sometimes you got to spend money. Our mechanic has told us if we don't do it this year, we're going to do it next year. Next year looks scary and ugly. We can afford to do it this year. It seems like a walk in the park to me in terms of decision making.
Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mayor.
Then Dantino?
I know Administrator McKittrick's title and philosophy was need versus want. But I never thought it was going to end up the challenge question. You know, I think we're all clear on need versus want. That's how most of us make all our decisions. But I think every time somebody stands up for a budget item saying, is it a need or a want, it's like the commercial, knock this battery off my shoulder. It's like a dare, like prove it that it's a need. And I don't think it's fair because every presentation should not have to go to the bottom, absolute do-or-die level. But what I was thinking is, a lot of what's been said, we have to, in my opinion, we have to remember our goal, our job is as policymakers. It's also the fiduciary responsibility of the city. But together, that's what we're always headed, we're always thinking. So we create the policy. We should listen to it. If we create them, I mean, how awesome is it that the 10 of us can sit here and create the policies? So how rude is it that we don't follow it? We create a policy, Here's how we're going to maintain our fleet. Here's who's going to decide if the fleet is up to par. Okay. The fleet manager said it's not up to par. That's our policy. Here's what we do. We made that policy, and now I don't think it's fair to say, I didn't mean that. I just mean it when I mean it. I mean, so I think if we are policymakers, we're only going to have the respect of the people who we are, have the fiduciary responsibility is if everyone knows what to expect. If we create the policy, the assumption would be that we would follow the same policy the 10 of us created. And I think that's what this is, not need versus want. We create a policy. If the fleet manager says we need a new truck, we need a new truck. Done. It's budgeted. So thank you.
Alderman Dantino, then Alderman Marks.
I withdraw my comments. Thank you.
Alderman Marks.
Mayor, maybe I misunderstood it, and it might be just that I'm looking at the schedule wrong, but I voted no for it because of the replacement thresholds the way I read it. The replace if the months in service is 120 months, which it was, or 50,000, and the maintenance CPMU is 0.30. This vehicle does not have the CPMU yet of over 30 of 0.30. It's one of the cheapest CPMUs on here, the lowest cost on there. So I felt that it didn't meet the threshold because it met or 50,000 and 0.30, and it didn't meet all those thresholds. That's why I was looking at this. Maybe I was wrong, but I thought that was the policy. Yes, it's over 120, but then it was and 50,000 and 0.30 is the way I was reading this. Maybe I read the schedule wrong, but that's the way I read this schedule, which is in everyone's packet. So I could be wrong, but that's why I voted no, and I still think that's the way it's meant to read. So I just felt that looking at this, at the schedule they gave us, it did not meet the requirements that the city had laid out earlier. And it's not here to grandstand or do any of that. I wasn't here. I was looking at the replacement thresholds. I wasn't on the council when they voted on, but the way I read it, it didn't meet those thresholds. And I could be wrong with that, but that's the way I read the schedule.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Hill, anything you'd like to add?
Question?
That's fine, but I said last week it didn't meet the schedule. Am I reading?
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Do you want to repeat just briefly what you said there? Because unfortunately, I had the microphone turned off. The voice of God now.
Now,
it's
now we can hear.
But now I can hear.
I recommend following the advice of Mr. Paris, the mechanic. I was in the trucking industry for over 15 years. He's a good mechanic. He knows what he's doing with trucks. Mr. Guscombe's recommendation to endorse his Mr. Paris' recommendation should be followed, and I would endorse the purchase of that new truck.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Anyone from the audience, any comments or questions regarding item 11B? I just have one follow-up question, that is for Alderman Pawlak. You voted in support of purchasing two new squad cars. What's the difference between two squad cars and a dump truck?
What's the difference between two squad cars?
Yeah, the philosophy of voting for one but not
for
the
other. I guess, Mayor, I have to ask, why is that germane to this conversation, and B, why the personal attack?
No personal attack at all. I'm just trying to understand philosophy, because you stated earlier that it's important philosophically that we try to save money.
Correct.
Yet when two squad cars were purchased, there was some discussion regarding it, but
right.
It was deemed certainly a need. And it passed, I believe, unanimously.
Yeah, I look at that as an essential service.
Providing?
Essential service, absolutely. For the police department? For the police cars? Yes.
So the water department is not an essential service? In your
Again, I question the personal attack.
Well, it's not personal. I'm just trying to understand the philosophy. If water's not important, I just need to know.
So. No. Mayor, you're putting words in my mouth.
Just trying to gain better understanding.
Well, I suggest you give me a call sometime. Thanks.
We will let philosophy rest where it rests.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can the question be called, sir?
The question
Please.
Can be called with
Alderman Vogelsberg stepped out.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Which way did she go?
That way.
Mr. Clerk, take the roll call.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg. Skip over that.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Alderman Hill, aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
The motion passes with 6 affirmative votes. Alderman Vogelsberg is back with us. Alderman Vogelsberg, we're taking the roll call on item 11B.
Oh, it's black back there.
Turn off the power to save money.
The
energy conserving vending machine.
But it is cold.
On item 11B, Alderman Vogelsberg, you vote aye. Therefore, the final vote is 7 affirmative, 3 nay votes. The motion does pass. Thank you for the spirited discussion. Item 11C is to recommend resolution number 2011-18, declaring city vehicle G34 as surplus property.
So moved. Second.
Brown makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Comments or questions?
It's not worn out at this point. It's certainly tired.
Yes. No questions, no comments? No. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Alderman Hill, aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Motion passes with 7 affirmative votes, 3 nay votes. We're at item 11D, as in David, recommend draft resolution 2011-24, authorizing contract with Clark Environmental Mosquito Management Incorporated for the 2011 mosquito control program at a cost not to exceed $78,000.
So moved.
Second.
Vogelsberg makes the motion and Singer makes the second.
All the people are free to listen, I hope.
Questions or comments?
Who is the second? I'm sorry.
Vogelsberg. No, correction. Vogelsberg made the motion. Singer made the second.
Singer, thank you.
Questions or comments regarding the mosquito abatement program?
I do have a question.
Yes, sir. Alderman Dantino.
I thought I understood this last week, but last year we had only 2 treatments, so we were budgeted for 5 at $94,000, and we reduced that to 2 at $78,000. So the price went up then drastically. If I'm reading that right.
They're holding the prices the same as last year. What we did is. We budgeted 94,000, but I don't think that included an increase that they had the previous year. So we kept it at 94, so we might have only had budgeted.
That was for 5 treatments?
4 treatments. Mm-hmm. What we have is a base price, and then the adult spraying, you don't know whether you're going to use it or not. So we usually try to get budgeted. This year what we're saying is 2, which is the same thing we did last year, we actually used last year. If you recall, last year was very wet and the mosquitoes were very active. However, we are reserving those sprays for essentially when there's a West Nile threat in the immediate area or during holiday, like 4th of July weekend, if it was real bad, I think last year we did it during that time period for that type of thing, but we are trying to reserve the spraying for when there's a health risk.
So the sprays are about $16,000 each, is that what that means there?
No, they are $6,536 per treatment.
And then
the base cost is $64,000.
I think Alderman Dantino has missed the fact that there's a base price for all the monitoring, et cetera, which the sprays are added on top of the base price.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Trying to figure that out. Yeah,
I didn't understand that either.
There's a lot of other services besides the
right,
sprays.
Right. They go through, they have traps, they monitor where the counts on the mosquitoes and West Nile. They treat the ponds with mosquito-eating fish. They treat the wetland areas to try to, prevent. The key is to try to prevent the mosquitoes from breeding in the first place. So they do a lot of that work. They put the tablets in the inlets that hold water.
Okay.
So that's the base thing, and then it's, if that doesn't work, then they go to spraying the entire city.
Okay, got it.
So, Dan, it's in essence the same as last year, and if you need the two additional treatments, then it'll be the original bid last year of $94,000.
Right.
Right. Thanks.
And we would have to come back for a budget amendment if we have to use more than two.
Okay.
Alderman Marks.
But Dan, this is not done for nuisance. Those sprays only happen when the county health department asks us to do it, correct?
Right. I mean, that's we work very closely with the health department.
This is not
It's
our
all
choice.
Coordinated with St. Charles, Batavia, and the townships in the area, because if we can spray all at once, it's a lot more.
Right. This is not just for nuisance. This is actually for health purposes.
West Nile is mainly what it's used for now.
Anyone else on the dais from the audience? On item 11D, Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Alderman Hill, aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We skip down to item 11Q, which is recommend resolution number 2011-25, authorizing real estate sales agreement for sale of surplus properties located adjacent to and or near the 700 and 800 block of James Street.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Pollack, seconded by Alderman Piper. The motion is required just to put the matter on the floor. We have some distinguished neighbors with us tonight who I think might have some questions regarding this matter. And I invite you to come to the podium. And if you could, just state your name, and we can answer all the questions you have to the best of our ability and deflect those
best.
We can.
So. My name's Ron Simcox. I live at 706 Natwell Square, Geneva, Illinois, right near where the property is being sold. We've lived here about 8 years. Well, first of all, let me just say I appreciate very much the opportunity to talk to you. We didn't come here to make a presentation, but we have some things that we'd like to clarify and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about that. And also to appreciate the work that you do on behalf of the city, because I know many times it's a thankless job. We have lived here 8 years, and in that time, there's a whole section of this proposal that belonged to the city that we have maintained as an association. The association has provided for grass cutting, for weed removal, for all kinds of leaf removal on city property. And we've been willing to do that. In fact, we didn't even know that this belonged to the city until recently when you're going to get rid of it. And we're not here to cause no trouble. We just came to do the Super Bowl shuffle, you know what I'm saying. don't want to lose our front yard. Now, that was one of the plots that is all part of this that we have maintained, and it looks a heck of a lot better than when we moved here. Now it's being sold, and we're not real sure of what's going to happen to that little portion that is an unbuildable lot. It's an unbuildable, and we're just hoping that we can work with whoever is buying it for whatever price and can come to some agreement on keeping it in it's not pristine, but it's as good as we can get. And we've put a lot of time in and energy in trying to make it so that the people in the area and the city can respect it for what it is.
Anything else anybody wants to add?
Okay.
Well, Mr. Simcox, just for the, in the spirit of transparency, the property has been sold to Donald Trump. And I know you spoke with City Administrator McKittrick earlier today.
Yes.
By phone. I believe she provided you with a summary. If you'd like, I'd be more than happy for either Mrs. McKittrick or the City Attorney, Mr. Radovich, to give you and by default everyone else a brief summary as to how this came about.
That'd be great.
Great. I'll defer to whomever would like to speak. City Attorney Radovich, you're on.
Well, Mr. Mayor, last fall, the city administration determined several pieces of property which, in the staff's view, was surplus, not being utilized to its fullest. And three parcels that are near your residence, sir, were earmarked as being surplus. One is lot 12 of Natwell, which is the lot that you're talking about, which it fronts in, on the south side of James Street. And then there's a parcel that is immediately west of that site, which is a buildable lot. It's part of lot one and a portion of another lot of the Homewood addition to Geneva. And then a sublot B, which is a 8-foot by 80-foot strip of land that borders the north part of the Geneva Golf Club and is south of that Homewood addition. Those are the three parcels. And the city notified all the adjoining, when the city council authorized to proceed with the sale of that property by negotiated sale, they notified all the adjoining property owners and had a meeting here in City Hall, and I believe the adjoining property owners were invited, as well as the Homeowners Association, your townhome association. And then subsequent to that, there was a published notice and written notice to the adjoining property owners informing them that they were entitled to make written proposals for the purchase of one or all three of those declared surplus lots or parcels. And in December, two proposals were submitted to the city administration. One proposal included was for the purchase of all three of the lots at $175,000. There was a second proposal that just sought the purchase of this outlot B, which is the 8-foot by 80-foot strip. I believe that was for $11,000, if I'm not mistaken. The administrative staff recommend to the city council that the one proposal for the purchase of all three lots was in the best interest of the city. And that's been the recommendation to the city council, and the city council committee of the whole has authorized or recommended that that proposal be accepted. So that's what's in front of you right now. It's my understanding that the individuals that are seeking to purchase this property are open to discussions with your townhome association for the acquisition of the sale of that lot 12 once they receive title to it, but you need to speak with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Was that helpful, Mr. Simcox? Or
somewhat. I followed it before that, but I don't recall ever getting any kind of communication that the three were going to be tied together in one bunch.
The notice.
It was individuals.
No, the notice that went out said that a bid could be made for an individual parcel or all three or any combination of them.
Or any combination. Okay. Who was that sent to in our association?
It was in a local newspaper, and it was sent to all of the adjoining property owners. All of the individual addresses that adjoin those lots should have received a copy of the notice in the mail, as well as it being in the newspaper.
I did not get that, and I live right next door to one, and my front yard is the other. And I did not get that in writing.
At the meeting that we had here, we let everybody know that those would be going out and in the mail to watch for those. So we were hoping that should you not receive one, that you would have let us know. But you were out of town for some time, too.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
And I didn't get it in any of the mail that we had.
Okay.
We just want, as I said, we didn't come to cause any trouble. We appreciate the work that you do, but we are concerned that our front yard is going to go.
In case anyone on the dais or perhaps in the audience has a question, Mr. Simcox, we will review the mailing list that we have.
Okay.
And we have copies, of course, of those letters that were sent.
Yes.
And we will verify with you. If you'd like, after the meeting, we can exchange phone numbers. I'm your neighbor, so I can walk down.
No problem.
And then we'll clarify for anyone else who perhaps has a question as to whether that was or was not mailed out.
Well, it's that we've put a lot of energy and time into maintaining that property and trimming the trees, paying for that ourselves, planting plants in the area that belonged to the village. We've cut grass that belonged to the village over the 8 years that I've been around here. And the whole thing looks like it's going south on us.
Well, we certainly hope not.
Yeah.
The owners or those who have entered into the agreement have, I should say, had similar issues that you do.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think that once you discover who they are, I think you'll be very pleased that they have the same genuine interest in preserving that as beautiful an area as possible.
I hope so. Okay. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank
appreciate
you,
that very much.
Alderman Brown, who represents you on the council, has a question or a comment?
Only a comment, Mr. Simcox. I mean, it should not go unsaid that we thank you for all those years of looking after that property. It is a beautiful little place to sit on a bench, and we on the council knew that the neighbors were looking after it. It was completely obvious. Most of us look after our parkways. That was a bigger job than just looking after a parkway. And we appreciate it, and this now at this point becomes a question between neighbors, and we hope you can work with your neighbors. The city council always hopes that neighbors can work together. And I believe the neighbors are quite interested in talking to you in your homeowners association just to make sure that you're not on opposite pages.
Well, that's great.
And you've certainly done a wonderful job. I know I even sat on the bench once when I was taking too long a walk and got tired. It's a beautiful little piece of property, and we're just sorry that we didn't get caught. We tried our best, and I'm sorry that somehow the U.S. Postal System let us down. Thank you and your neighbors, and please carry that message to your homeowners association.
There are three huge evergreen trees.
They're beautiful.
That are about 25 to 30 feet tall.
Gorgeous.
And, we just don't want to see that.
You know the history. That piece of property was given to the city many years ago. I think Alderman Radovich knows. Excuse me, Attorney Radovich.
I'm not sure. Voted again.
I keep demoting you.
Now we can afford them.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to note that before the council authorized the formal sale notices or requests for proposals for these properties, there was an informal meeting here at City Hall in which the adjoining property owners were invited, and there were at least two or three from your townhome association, and I think one of the ladies in the audience, and Mrs. Temple, and Mrs. Temple, and Mrs. Temple.
Yeah, Nancy.
Right.
Madam, if I could trouble you to join us, forgive me, but we would like to, if you want to join us at the podium, madam. If you could join us at the podium, we'd be most grateful because we want to capture what you said. And believe it or not, a lot of people watch the program in there.
We were called 1 week before
there you go.
That we would receive something through the mail. My husband and I, my husband is not well this evening. He's not present. But we received ours the following week. But I knew the Simcox were out of town and they did not receive theirs. The other party on the other side did receive, but they were not did not come that evening. But my understanding was that it was a parcel that could be sold to be built upon. Is that not right?
Which parcel, ma'am?
The whole of that lot. The entire lot.
There's three parcels.
Yeah.
One of the parcels is a buildable parcel. The one immediately to the west of the townhomes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The parcel to the north, which is known as Lot 12 Natwell, is a non-buildable parcel. That's right. The one where your bench is located. Yes.
Will that be designated as a separate lot, or when this all goes together, will it be one lot?
There'll be still separate parcels.
Okay. So that'll remain unbuildable, period.
That portion, yes, is unbuildable.
That
as a separate lot, it's unbuildable.
Yeah. The little lot will be deeded to the country club. Is that correct?
It's my understanding that, yes, that the prospective purchaser of all three of these lots has made a separate transaction with the golf club to sell that portion to the golf club, yes.
Their taxes then will be on that portion as well as the country club, correct?
Well, the other good benefit is that all three of these parcels will be taxable. They've been off the tax rolls.
Right.
Since the city has had title to them. So now they will be generating some tax revenue for the benefit of everyone, yes.
Right. I guess my only question is, I hope that we haven't been paying all this time for
taxes on the city property. You have not, sir. You have not, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, I have nothing to do with separate lawyer.
Okay. Anyone else? Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two questions. Hopefully they're appropriate. When will the final purchase of these properties be? When will it be finalized?
If the City Council approves this resolution tonight, the tentative scheduling is for April 8th.
Second question, the funds that will be brought forward, how will they be used?
Mary McKitcher can answer that, but I believe the answer is they will be utilized in our capital.
Mm-hmm. Right now, what I've done is propose that a portion of the funds be used in the upcoming fiscal year budget for capital equipment. And then the balance be used, as I stated previously to the council, as seed money to start a capital equipment fund.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So that's my proposal.
I was aware of that. I would like the public be
Made
knowledge of that. Thank you, Ms. McKittrich. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else from the dais or the audience? Questions on item 11Q? We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
John Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Alderman Hill votes aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We jump down to item 13, new business. Is there any new business from any member of the audience this evening? Before I have to respond to Alderman Singer, I'm just kidding. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I would like to bring forward at this time the name of a young man by the name of Scott Singer. He is not related to me. I wish he were. Fine, fine gentleman, returning from the war in Afghanistan last Saturday. And he was acknowledged as such at the American Legion at Post 75, and honored, and we're very pleased to have him home with us. I'm very pleased to see the kind of reception he received. It was just absolutely magnificent, the number of people that were there. And my understanding is that the city showed him some a nice consideration in bringing him forward from Elburn here to the city. The use of the police and fire vehicles, I thought that was just really, really a great gesture, and I thank you for that.
Well, it was all done through the good offices of Chief Mexen, Chief Olson, and their respective teams. As you know, Scott Singer is a paid-on-call firefighter with Geneva, and obviously they have a very special kinship and brotherhood, and I think that's a wise investment of our resources to welcome home a troop.
I truly believe that. Thank you so much for that effort, and thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Marks.
I just want to remind the citizens to vote tomorrow. Alderman, school board, and I think this park district.
if I'm not correct.
And King County.
And King County.
And
tomorrow is voting day.
Alderman Marks, thank you. City Administrator McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to, ask the council, if you have not yet, please contact our local legislators and talk to them about our distributive funds. Saving $7 million is of utmost importance. We don't know at this point if or how much the state might take from distributive funds to help balance their budget. But it is important. If you've seen the mayor's message to our legislators, he really lays it out nicely as to the commitment that was made decades ago from the state to the municipalities. And as you know, if we are to lose those funds or a portion of those funds, we will have to stop some of our core services. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of how much we cut back on public safety and public service through Public Works Department. So it's essential, and they need to hear from each and every one of our policymakers about how important this is. So I would implore you to contact them by email, letters, phone calls, or stopping at their office. As you know, one of our legislators is right here in town. So thank you.
Anyone else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Marks, seconded by Singer. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Alderman Hill, aye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Mayor.